The title of my lesson this morning is, Have You Seen Jesus' Spirit of Compassion? Have you seen Jesus' Spirit of Compassion? This is going to be an interesting study. You might say, well, what does that have to do with love? Well, when we think about agape love and how it always wants the best for others, we certainly can see how compassion would come into that. And we'll be looking at the compassion of Jesus and the examples of Jesus with regard to that. If there is one area, I believe, where we are often falling short, it is this area of compassion, having a spirit of compassion. So I'd like for us to look at the definition of compassion according to Webster's, and that is sympathetic consciousness of others, distress with a desire to alleviate. Now, that's important because you see, that's a twofold definition. The second part is not just knowledge. We don't just have knowledge of need in the lives of others, but a desire to alleviate that need. That is what compassion is all about. And one characteristic of Christ is, of course, that impresses us so much is the compassion that Jesus had in the lives of so many people. There are many scenes in the Bible that we can look to of Christ's life, which will show us His compassionate spirit. But we're only going to focus on four this morning that I think will paint a vivid picture of the compassion of Christ. And then we're going to look at some scripture in the Bible with regard to compassion and what we need to do with that in our lives. Well, the first example I would like us to take a look at is the Samaritan woman at the well. We read about that in John, the 4th chapter, and we have a recorded conversation there between Jesus and this Samaritan woman. So, here's what the Scripture says there in John chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, Give me a drink. Now, we have to stop here and understand, and I know most of you do, the animosity that existed between the Jews and the Samaritans. I mean, they had a long-standing feud. It was kind of like the Hatfields and the McCoys. It was a long-standing feud, and it had existed since the Israelite people had been taken into Babylonian captivity. So it had been around for a long time. Here's what the Scripture says in John chapter 4, verse 9. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? And then the writer explains it. For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Thus we see Jesus' spirit of compassion here. You might ask, well, how is that? Well, he's already showing compassion for this Samaritan lady by speaking to her, ignoring the prejudices that existed between the Jews and the Samaritans, and literally talking with her. His compassion can also be seen the way he approaches the subject of her salvation. He begins on common ground. The first thing that he says to her is to talk about his thirst. And every human being has experienced thirst. We all understand what thirst is all about. Christ used a non-threatening way to begin this very important discussion with this Samaritan woman. So we read about that in John chapter 4 and verse 10. The scripture says, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Verse 11, she said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, in verse 12, she says. Are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his own cattle? Well, here Jesus was drawing a parallel. And it's important that we see that. Between physical thirst and spiritual thirst. Now, did this lady understand? Well, obviously, she didn't. She was having trouble following what Jesus was trying to explain to her. But did Jesus become impatient with her? No, he didn't. This is what we see Jesus saying then in John chapter 4, verse 13, beginning in 14. Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Jesus did not make this woman feel foolish, nor did he make her feel ignorant. He did not condemn her lack of spirituality, and we need to notice this. This is what the scripture says in verse 16 and 18. He said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly. The woman had only spoke a half-truth to Jesus. But Jesus, of course, already knew the truth. Now, we need to recognize that the relationship that this woman had with the present man she was with was either an adulterous relationship or one of fornication. It can be any other way. And I'm sure, and I have no doubt of it, that she was embarrassed. I would have been embarrassed if I would have been in her place, but Jesus did not condemn her. Notice that. Well, the question then, of course, is, why? Why didn't he? And the answer is because of his compassion. As a result of his compassion that he showed this woman, they continued to have a conversation. And she continues to hear the words of Jesus because of the compassion that he showed her. And ultimately, the scripture says in John chapter 4, verse 41 and 42, many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and now that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. You will remember that this woman went into Sychar and told everyone about Jesus and how he knew all about her life. But they didn't believe now because what she told them. They believe because they came and listened to Jesus. And all that occurred because of the compassion that Jesus had for this woman. The spirit of compassion worked in Samaria of old. And that same spirit will work today in our society. And we need to try to emulate Jesus if we possibly can when we talk to others that may not have as many common things with us. I'd like us to take a look then at one more example. And that is, Jesus helps a leper. Jesus helps a leper. We find that in Mark chapter 1 and verse 40 and 40 all the way through verse 42. Here the scripture says, and a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Moved with compassion. That's what the biblical record says. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing to be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. What a tremendous picture of contrast that we have here in this passage. Think about it. Think about the two of them together and what do you see? A man with the most feared disease known at that time, beside Jesus, who had power over all diseases. A man undoubtedly scarred and disfigured that no one wanted to even look upon, beside Jesus, who was perfect in absolutely every way. One man kneeling, another man standing. One man begging and another granting because of his compassion. But the beauty of this scene is not in what I've just discussed with you. It's not only in the fact that Jesus paused to listen to and to help this leper, nor in the fact that Jesus healed him. The beautiful part that shows Jesus' compassion is that he touched him. We all understand that Jesus did not have to touch this man. He could have healed him from afar. We know that with all certainty from God's holy word. But Christ showed his compassion by doing that which no clean person had done in years for this man. Now I can say that. Because the fact is, lepers in that day were ostracized. They were shunned. They were outcast. They even drove them out of the city with rocks. And Jesus touched them. Can you possibly imagine how that must have made that leper feel? What an example for us today of compassion. Well, the next one I'd like to take a look at is Jesus and the adulterous woman. The scribes and Pharisees, as we know, were always trying to trap Jesus. They were always trying to trick him in every way that they could. And on this occasion that we find in John chapter 8, verses 5 through 6, the scripture says, now in the law of Moses commanded, us to stone such women. What then do you say? They were saying this, testing him so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. Jesus had compassion for this woman. This compassion for this woman who was undoubtedly ashamed and embarrassed. She'd been caught in the act of adultery. You can imagine how she felt. But this compassion of Jesus caused him to turn the tables on the scribes and the Pharisees. And so then we read in John chapter 8, verse 7, but when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Now who's embarrassed? The scribes and the Pharisees, aren't they? The compassion of Jesus pointed out vividly the lack of compassion that the scribes and the Pharisees had. These old men all left being convicted of their own consciences. Here's what verse 9 says in chapter 8. When they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone and the woman where she was in the center of the court. Now, that leads me to ask a question. Why is that woman still there? We know, it's clear in our minds that that woman would have been embarrassed, humiliated, ashamed. She didn't have to stay there with Jesus. Why is she still there with Jesus after her accusers had all left? Well, the answer is she wanted to hear from the lips of this compassionate man. Jesus' compassionate spirit created a heart in this woman that would receive His instructions, receive His teaching. And this is what Jesus had to say. Go now and leave your life with sin. John chapter 8, verse 11. Go now and leave your life of sin. Jesus knew that this woman needed forgiveness and not ridicule. Instruction and not condemnation. He could have easily destroyed her with His sins. He could have degraded her and beat her down and ground her into the dirt. But that's not what Jesus did. He built her up. And then He told her, leave your life of sin. Go and sin no more. What a beautiful picture of compassion. Well, let's look at one more. Jesus and the death of a friend. Can you guess who that might be? I'm sure you already have. Lazarus. We read about that in John chapter 11. We read about the record of the death of Lazarus. Now, some of Jesus' closest friends, let me see what this slide shows. There we go. Some of Jesus' closest friends were Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Jesus, we know this by the record, knew that Lazarus had died. And He left from where He was to bring him back to life. That's what the record says. And He did this at great personal risk to His own life. Because the Jews were always laying in wait for Him. The Scripture says that. But He had compassion for this dear family. And He knew that His personal presence would be a great comfort and encouragement to them. And so at His own personal risk, He leaves to go and be with them. And He also knew, of course, what He was going to do with regard to Lazarus. Now, when Jesus saw Martha's tear-stained face, His first words were ones of hope and encouragement. That's exactly what the Scripture says here. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Can you think of any greater words that could have been spoken to the loved ones? He's coming back. What encouragement Jesus gives them. But then the Scripture continues. In John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" I think those are very encouraging words. When Mary came crying to Him and overwhelmed with grief, she falls at His feet. That's what the record says. She falls at His feet, and Jesus, as He saw her crying and her grief and the crying of the entire family, the Scripture says that He was overwhelmed and wept. He was overwhelmed and wept. What great compassion. Jesus didn't do this because He knew Lazarus was gone and wasn't coming back. He knew He was going to raise him from the dead. His compassion compassion was for those that were suffering, for their grief. Beautiful picture of compassion. The compassion of Jesus. Well, I want us to take just a moment and look at the compassion then found in the Bible. We find that now that we've seen the spirit of compassion in the life of Jesus, I want us to see what the Bible has to say with regard to compassion to our lives. So, what we find then, beginning in Jude chapter 1, verse 22, and I'll put two different translations here, is this scripture. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. New King James Version. We're commanded to have compassion. In the NASB it says, and have mercy on some who are doubting, and the word doubting is translated wavering in the New Revised Standard Version. You see, there were those there that were doubting, who were wavering, because there were men there teaching false doctrines. And the apostle says, or the writer here says, you're to have compassion on them. Compassion. Now you could easily chastise them and rebuke them for not having a strong enough faith. But the writer says, have compassion. And I'm sure we need to try to teach them correctly. Well, we find this teaching also in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. The scripture here says, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. We not only have the example of Jesus to be compassionate, the scripture tells us we are to be compassionate and humble people. That same scripture in another translation says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. I like that translation, a tender heart. That's exactly what compassion is all about. A tender heart. But it's not just having a tender heart, it's also doing something about it. And it's important that we put this into our lives. Especially if we want to claim to be loving Christians. Because with that love, if there's no compassion, I'm not sure how effective it's going to be. Well, we always try to bring our lessons back to us in this day and time and apply them to our lives. And so the question for each of us this morning is, are we following the example of our Savior? I think we painted a pretty good picture here this morning of His compassion. Are we applying God's holy word to our lives, and as a result, do we have a compassionate, tender-hearted spirit? If there's anyone here that's not a child of God, and you'd like to put Jesus on in baptism, confessing Him as the Lord and Savior of your life, repenting of your sins, if you'll come forward and make your wishes known as we stand and sing the invitation, we'll assist you in every possible way. Or if you would like the prayers of the congregation this morning, come forward as we sing the song of invitation and make your wishes known.